Black as you, black as me. Black as us, black as free. Black as free, black as me. Black as us, black as free. Black as you, black as me. Black as us, black as free. Black as us, black as me. Black as us, 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 black as us. Ladies and gentlemen, you thought school was out, you thought we was going somewhere, but guess who's back? It's your favorite fellas from Tales of the 2%, and by all means, we are happy to see you. Hope you're enjoying your summer. Hope you're having a great time. And you know I can't do this by myself. Let's go ahead and get these guys on up in here. We are one short today. My man Donnie Williams is getting packed for a trip to see Mama for the birthday. So Donnie, safe travels, brother. But first up, foremost, let's get the coolest academic coach in the building. My man, Mr. Najee Elte. Yeah, what's going on, E? How are you today, bro?
What's up, man? I'm feeling good, woo-hoo! Man. Beautiful day.
In the building. That boy is in there, boy. Hey, what's going on, E?
Man, I'm cool, man. Just enjoying the summer, man.
Knowledge is in the building. And, of course, Mr. Too Cool for School himself, Antoine. How are you doing today, sir?
Hey, man, what's going on, man? I'm blessed, man. Feeling pretty good today.
Yes, sir, man. It's summer. You know what? Stop it. It's summertime.
Drums, please.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the building. Hopefully, everybody is feeling great, feeling fantastic. Hopefully, you guys are doing well. Hopefully, you're enjoying your summertime. Fellas, I got to ask, man, what are you doing right now to enjoy your summer?
Let me jump in there, man. Hey, I've turned off all my alarms.
Yeah,
I don't wake up on nobody's terms but God. You feel me?
Oh, come on, Jesus.
There it is. Talk to him.
Yeah. E, how you handling the summer, man?
Man, it's all self-care for me, man. Staying up late, waking up late, eating what I want to. I'm just feeling good. Getting my mind right, man.
Yes, sir.
That's a summer for me.
It is. As far as I'm concerned, bro, I've been trying to get my butt print in a chair. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to work on the butt groove in my new relaxing chair. That's what I'm working on the entire summer.
That chair gonna
know me before the day is out.
Right.
Also, I messed around and got myself the new Xbox, bro. I ain't seen sunlight in like a week.
Ooh, I already know how that go.
Exactly.
Bro's crushing it on Madden right now. E gonna have to come see me.
Come on. Come on.
Hey, man. But, yo, we want to welcome everybody black again to another episode of Tales of the 2%, man. A show by black male teachers for black male teachers. We do this for the teaching brothers who make up the 2% of all teachers out there. We do this for the culture, for representation. And by all means, it's important for kids to see us and hear the conversation. It's long overdue. Make sure to follow us at Mr. TOTP on Twitter, at Tales of the 2% on IG. Make sure you spell that all out. Join the conversation in our Facebook group at Tales of the 2% Podcast. If you want to be a part of the conversation or join us or send us a teacher's house confessions or be a substitute teacher on the show that's a guest host, email us at totppodcast@gmail.com or call and leave us a voicemail at 470-765-8688. And remember, Tales of the 2% is brought to you by the good people at Crux Media Group. If you want to start your own podcast, email them at info@cruxmediagroupllc.com. They can show you everything from getting your podcast started to getting it monetized. Make sure you contact the good people at Crux Media Group to get your voice and your podcast heard. Remember, that's Crux Media. They're at the heart. They're at the apex. They are at the middle of everything podcast. Now, just introduce the fellas. Donnie's missing right now. Again, Don, hopefully when you hear this, you are on your way to see Mama Williams. Happy birthday to you. Now, for our first-time listeners, we, like any good teacher, set our stuff up like a lesson plan. There's a warm-up. There's class announcements. There's a learning objective, phenomenon, guided question, academic discussions, data talk. We took our guided practice and the independent practice out right now, swapped it with our favorite session, the Teacher's Lounge Confessions. Then we got our SEL moment and finally a ticket out the door. But enough of the formalities. Fellas, it's summertime. The sunshine is calling us. Let's get it and get out of here.
Let's warm up, man.
Y'all ready for this?
All right.
Hey, man, yes, I got a new one. I got a new warm-up game. And this one, Donnie's going to love this one when he get back, bro. This one is called the Alphabet Brainstorm, where I am going to give you a topic. And I'm playing this one, too. I'm going to give you a topic, and you have to name one for every letter of the alphabet. First person to miss is out.
Ooh.
Y'all ready for this?
And right, let's see, because
I love it, I like it, because it is Black Music Month, man. Our subject is going to be rappers and singers from A to Z. Rappers and singers from A to Z. It's going to be fun. All right, so I'm going to kick it off. Rappers and singers from A to Z, from any genre, from any type of music. Let's go with A. I'm going to go ASAP Rocky. Antoine, you up next. B.
Lil Biv DeVoe.
Lil Biv DeVoe. Come on. All right. Najee, C.
Cash Money.
Okay. You'll name the label. I'll take that. I'll take that.
I'll take that.
Every time, Najee, you about to get that whole three Steves happen again, bro. I'm going to let him have Cash Money. All right. D, it's on me. Dos Effects. I'm going old school on that one. All right, Antoine E.
Eric Benet.
Ooh, Eric Benet. Smooth, brother. Smooth. All right, that's an F.
Freeway.
Ooh, Freeway. Come on with it. All right, G. Oh, snap. I got 10 seconds. Oh, snap. I can't think of G. Oh, it's going to kill me.
Four.
Oh, no.
Three.
No.
Two.
Ah, son.
Yeah. Oh.
Son,
Daddy.
Why can't I think of nothing for G?
Why Daddy. Can't I...
Give me something for G, man.
Anybody Gorilla else? Zoe.
Dang it, boy. Shoot. All right.
G, you next. Okay, right. My bad.
Forget you. All right, H. Right. Antoine, H.
Singer or rapper, we're gonna go with H.
Five. Four. Three.
H. It's harder than what it sounds like.
It's harder than what it looks like.
Oh,
right? Two.
Oh man, I couldn't get that one.
One. Oh, come on, son. Najee, what you got for H? We got enough H?
I thought I was going to H.
No. I mean, you can take. You're going to take I.
Oh, okay. I don't have anything for H, actually.
I got nothing for H. I'm pretty sure. Okay, listeners, if y'all know something for H, y'all make sure y'all email the show. Now you take I.
Ah, Jesus, this is a tough one.
All
right. I'm going to have to go with this singing group. Back in the 90s, Immature.
My wife was an Immature fan. She would love you right now. She would love you right now. Immature. All right. Do we want to try to work through the rest of the alphabet? Is that enough?
Hey, let's try to do it. See
okay.
If we can do
okay.
It.
Wait. We got to go back to eight. I have to Google it. Rappers with names H. I feel like I go back to eight. Okay. No. Let's go J. J is on me. Oh, Jay-Z. Easy. Boom. All right. Antoine, take K.
K, Karen Clark Shear, Gospel.
Oh, Jesus. All right, E, take L.
Lupe Fiasco.
The man Lupe. All right, so L, come to me. M, the M-E-T-H-O-D, man. Method Man, there it is. N.
That's it.
N for me.
Uh-huh.
I'm going with Naughty by Nature.
Oh,
classic,
nice.
Classic. Najee, O.
I think I'm stumped on O.
Bruh, you better not miss O.
Oh. OJ the Juice Man.
Okay. He pulled that one out of the last.
He pulled that one out of the hat.
He pulled that one out of the last second. So O. Lord, I forgot the alphabet. O A. L-M-N-O-P. All right, P is on me. Oh, dang. P. Lord, I wanted to say Master P, but that'll start with a P. Oh, snap. P. P, Lord, I can't think of a P. Oh, I'm done.
Five. 4.
Dang, I'm about to miss again.
3, 2.
Paul McCartney, Phil Collins.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. There it is. I threw that one. Thank you. All right, LMNOPQ. Come on with the Q, Antoine.
We're going to go with Questlove.
Questlove. There it is.
Oh, that's a good one.
Q, R. Nazi R.
Run DMC.
There it is.
That's
class, man.
All
right. Lord, I'm more ashamed.
I think it's S.
I'm more ashamed about the alphabet. I forgot how the alphabet. Oh, okay. S, Stevie Wonder. There it is. T, Antoine. You got T.
Tevin Campbell.
Mr. Ready for Love. Come on, bro.
That's it.
T, just T. U. Ooh. U.
UGK.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, there it is. Classic. All right. T U V. V is on me. Oh, shoot. I wanted to say Vivica Fox, but she don't sing.
Right.
Lord, why do I keep getting these hard letters?
Yeah, you getting hard ones too. I ain't gonna lie.
Five. Oh my God, bro, who starts with a
four?
No. Vanessa Williams. There it is.
Okay, we'll give you that.
All right. V, Antoine.
We're gonna go with Whitney Houston.
There it is. Hey, I'm your baby tonight. If by far is my song, but that's something. Bad. All right. WX.
Got to go with the main man, Exhibit.
There it is, boy. Shout out to Exhibit. USCXY. Who am I going to throw out there for Y? Hey, man, we got Young Dolph. Bro. Shout out to
there
the
There we
man,
go. Shout out. R.I.P.
Shout out to the bro. R.I.P. Yeah, Young Dolph, man. All right. WXY and Z. Antoine, who you got for Z?
Let's see. Oh, it was a group. I think it was called Zane.
Was it a group called Zane? Zane was actually the group. I know exactly who you talking about.
I think it was a group called
Zane.
There
we go.
Yeah, it was a group. I know exactly who you talking about. Zane. Hold on, let me see if I can find that song because now I want to hear it.
Right.
Hold on. Let me mess around and find some Zane so we can play for the people.
I know it was a little Zane. He rapped on that 112.
No, bruh. Zane, right here. This is a classic. Sending my love.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, they also did. Nah, this was one right here. Hey, Mr. DJ.
Right. There we go. That was a jam right there.
That's a real
90s.
I feel like there we go.
Skating right now. I need
that's
to go
that
skating.
Real
90s. I'm about to pull my skates out, skate downstairs. Hey, man, there it is. That is our warm up for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank y'all for playing along. And by all means, you can take these warm ups and play along with your family, your friends, and your loved ones at home. Now, our boy Donnie is not with us, so we're going to jump straight to the announcements, and they are coming from me. June is known as Black Music Month, aka African American Music Month, man. And this first came into existence in 1979 as Black Music Month. This month was meant to honor and celebrate Black artists' contributions to music on U.S. soil. President Jimmy Carter wanted people to recognize how much of an impact Black music had, not only at home, but also abroad, as people all over were adopting elements from its express themselves. Moreover, in the 70s, was fast becoming the decade in which Black music was gaining traction in singing music labels, with many business heads recognizing its commercial value. Although President Carter had assigned June as Black Music Month, he had not signed a special presidential proclamation that would have made it official. Diana Williams, a renowned journalist and community activist, attempted to submit a petition to hold a Black Music Month event at the White House in 1998 during President Clinton's term, but she was soon informed that an event wouldn't be possible due to the absence of a presidential proclamation. Yet, not all was lost. Williams lobbied for legislation with the help of Congressman Shaka Fatah, and thanks to their joint effort, 2 years later, June was officially declared Black Music Month. In 2009, President Barack Obama renamed Black Music Month to African American Music Appreciation Month. He also highlighted the importance of this month and the various genres in music. This includes sacred music, which was one of the earliest African-American music forms in the U.S. that highlighted gospel themes and Black Christian values. Blues and R&B relayed ideas of homeland and racial inspiration. Hip-hop, rap, and rock and roll quickly became popular overseas as they appealed to the youngsters all over the world, man. So in the month of June, celebrate African-American history. Oh, Lord. Celebrate African-American Appreciation Month with the music that you love to hear, man. Real quick, fellas. Najee, what's your favorite genre of music?
My favorite, I have to go with man, that's a tough one. I'm gonna go with R&B. R&B soul.
Yeah, woo. Yes sir. Yes,
that's why. Antoine,
what's your favorite genre?
Man, you know what? I'm gonna have to agree with Najee, man. Mid 70s, early 80s, R&B. That stuff do something different to your soul when you listen to it. Especially now, man, when you go back and you listen from a different perspective as an adult, man, that stuff puts you in a whole different mood.
Y'all boys out there listening to that baby making music.
For sure, bro. Just love.
Y'all listen to that. Let's get it on music.
Hey, that's right. When that man came on, he said, "Girl, you know I love you. But I'm trying to be more than a man for you."
Hey, come on, bro.
Man.
Hit different, man. Woo. Yeah. But get this show started if I start crying.
Hey, but bro, yeah. Believe it or not, my favorite genre of music is actually jazz and gospel. Shouts out to my dad and my grandpa. My grandpa actually played in the Harlem Renaissance, and he made sure he infused us all with a love of jazz. And jazz is my thing, bro. So, yeah, shouts out to you, Pop. Yeah. All right.
I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, bro. Yes. Listen to me, bro. We can sit and talk Miles Davis, Dizzy Gillespie, bro. I could take you some underground spots and some funk and some infusion. Woo. Don't get me started, bro. We mess around and forget to talk about the whole topic.
For sure.
Hey, man. All right. So listen, ladies and gents, it's summertime, of course. So our phenomenon today is two things: summer learning and, unfortunately, summer learning loss. Now, our guiding question for today is, what can be done to promote summer learning and what can be done to prevent summer learning loss, man? Now, as we dive into our academic discussion, we know by now the kids have been out. Some states have been out from school for maybe about 2-3 weeks, almost a month at most. And unfortunately, we know good and well, as soon as they leave the school, ain't a thing going to be done to promote any type of learning. So, my guys, my question, first question up is, what do you define as summer learning? Antoine, I'm going to throw it to you first, man. What do you define as summer learning?
In my most, what I can think about summer learning basically is just taking that time that you are away from a traditional school day and still incorporating some type of academic, whether it's reading, whether it's writing, whether it's even just discourse between you and your kids or whatever the case may be. It's just still allowing learning to be present with your children during the summertime.
Yeah. Yeah. How would you define summer learning?
So the way I define summer learning is, you know, during the school year, my students, I always express to them that homework is the most important assignment in my class. So because I graded that assignment heavy. So summer learning defined to me is extended homework, where students are just taking that time to just continue to learn, and whether it's opening up a book or learning a new skill, just keeping their brains active over the summertime. So, you know, they're not losing it.
Yeah. For me, I define summer learning loss. Summer learning simply as taking a set of skills and trying to figure out a problem. No matter what the problem is, no matter what it come from, no matter where it appears, doing your best to fix a problem or find a solution using the skills that you have obtained in school. That's pretty much what I view as summer learning. Of course, you know, you got your reading programs and other type of stuff, but it's just taking the time to implement the things that you have learned in a real world situation. I think that's the biggest thing for me when it comes to summer learning. Now, let's flip this thing on its head. How do you define summer learning loss? Antoine, how would you define summer learning loss?
I just think that summer learning loss is basically an extended amount of time where you have no type of academic practice. Mm-hmm. You know, I always, you know, like to make a lot of sports analogies with my students. And I tell all my students, the best time to get better is on the off season. You get better on the off season. You don't get better during the season. Well, you will get better during the season, but you got to be, man, now that Kobe Bryant has passed away, I'm seeing so many iconic videos about who he was as a competitor.
Yeah.
Who he was and he talked about this one about watching film.
Yeah.
And I ain't gonna hold it long, but he was just saying how everybody would be out running around this and that, and they would see Kobe in his room studying film.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do that, but because he took his art and his craft to a different level, then that's exactly what you're going to get out of it. So, you know, you got to put that time and effort in. So when you take a long time without putting in any effort to your craft, that's when you're going to lose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For me, summer learning loss is pretty much doing a lot of things that don't challenge you, that don't require you to think. I get it. You want to go out there. You want to have fun. You want to do all those things. But even in some of the video games that you play, do something that's going to make you think, that's going to challenge you, that's going to make you think out the box. Because if you pacify yourself the entire summer, you end up coming back with that same mindset that this should be easy, or I got this because I really haven't used my knowledge the entire summer. That's summer learning loss for me. E, what about you, man?
Yeah, you all said had some great points. And I would like to add that, you know, students not reading over the summertime attributes to learning loss. Reading something, I don't care if it's a magazine, articles, writing, doing something academically that's going to help them, you know, extend their learning through the summertime. Because I've noticed it for myself as a kid, and I've seen it with my own students as they transition from summer back to the fall semester.
Yeah, yeah. Now, unfortunately, we know that this impacts students of color more. This impacts our community more than it does other communities. We'll get more into that when we talk in the data digs and all that type of stuff. But as a Black male teacher, as an African-American, period, how can we prevent summer learning loss and promote summer learning with our students, just period? E, I'm gonna throw that one to you first, man.
So one way I think is prepping our students during the spring semester. Connecting with parents, ensuring that parents understand that the summer is one of the most important parts of the students' learning.
Oh yes.
That's when that gap begins to grow over those summertime. So one way is encourage parents to get students into a camp. Oftentimes kids just sit at home, and it's unfortunate that, you know, camps cost a lot of money, and some parents just can't afford to send their kids to camp. So the kids suffer by being home and not doing anything. And, you know, that's when that gap begins to increase. So even if you're putting your child in summer school just to, you know, enhance their skills, but put them in something that's going to help them learn over the summertime, because it becomes a challenge to teachers when we get back and trying to move on with our curriculum and we have to go backwards a few years.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I tell them, first and foremost, I let them know library cards are free. You can get a library card and go to the library. I used to hang out at the library over the summer. But I tell them to get their hands on any and everything that they can read. If you into anime, read you a manga book. If you into sports, read the sports section in the newspaper. Don't just always watch ESPN. If you like this, read about it first. Get your hands on some print, or find an article online, because, you know, these kids are always on their phones and stuff like that. Like, read these articles and see if you can understand what the person is saying. Like, reading is We stress this on the show because reading really is the most fundamental thing of all subjects. If you can read and understand, that is half the battle in school. So reading is everything. And that's really what I tell my kids. I don't care what you do, read and understand it. To my kids who play sports over the summer, I tell them, try to figure out your stats. Try to figure out what your percentages is, your shooting percentages or your rushing yards or whatever you do that. Challenge yourself that way. So those are just some of the things I do. I try to encourage my kids to do as well. And even more so, your money. Lord, how much allowance am I getting over the summer? Work on that. What about you, Antoine?
Run that question for me again.
So we know that, unfortunately, summer learning loss happens or hits communities of color more. So as a Black man, as a Black male teacher, as part of the 2%, what can we do to help change this narrative?
First of all, I would like to say exposing our students to literature that reflects what we look like.
Yeah.
Our students, they don't gravitate towards literature and reading because it doesn't look like what they look like. And I'm just going to be honest with you. We're more drawn to what we see and what we can identify with. Case in point, yesterday I walked inside of Barnes & Noble and they had a whole section where they pretty much attributed to African-American literature. And that made my heart smile because it had different books with Black people and young adolescents on the front of the covers. So I think, you know, showing your students that, you know, there are Black authors. Showing your kids that, hey, listen, there are Black people that actually are responsible for some of our greatest stage plays and different movies. And, you know, that's reading too. Scripts and even music is a form of, you know, reading and dialogue and such. So allowing our students to see other Black literature, I think, is a great thing that can help them get connected to reading.
Agreed. Oh, agreed, bro. By all means, you hit that smack on the head right there, bro. I think they don't, a lot of kids definitely don't understand how influential Black authors have been. And I'm talking about outside of your Langston Hughes, outside of, you know, your Zora Neale Hurston's, outside of these people. There are so many great authors and writers out there that need, that students need to identify with. Man, I'm telling you, I love our African-American people. And those of you who are taking the task to pen our history and write down great stories, y'all some dope people. Don't get me started on the fact that Shakespeare was Black. Come on, man.
Dig it, dig it. Right, right.
Come on, man, bro. We'll have a whole discussion on that one right there, bro.
It's okay.
Hey, so look. Hey, bro, look. So I'm going to get you guys out of here on the academic discussion on this question. And it's a bit early to ask this, but, you know, unfortunately, with teachers, we think this up. Every now and again, we think stuff like this. So heading into next school year, and Najee, I know, with you being an academic coach, you definitely got to think about this. How do you handle the summer learning loss? Because we've already, you know, unfortunately, we've already heard about the COVID learning loss, how students have lost a lot because of COVID being out of the building. Now, compound that with really a lot of kids, this being their first free summer to get out and do stuff. How do you handle how are you prepared or preparing to handle the summer learning loss going into next year? And E, I'm gonna toss that to you first, man.
And I'm gonna look at it as a teacher in the classroom, and I'm gonna step outside of my coaching role. As a teacher in the classroom, when I've had students come back and I've identified that, you know, there has been dramatic learning loss, I always start the school year off with some kind of diagnostic test. Just to kind of see where my students are. And the diagnostic test is based on previous knowledge, based on sixth grade material or seventh. You know, if they're coming into, there's my middle school side of me. If they were coming into the sixth grade or, you know, their previous year, because I want to know what is it that they recall from the previous year. So that I know what I'm getting into as we're moving forward to the current school year's curriculum. And from the results, I like to kind of group the students and have it opportunities where those students have drills. And I use my first few weeks because as teachers, we like to follow the pacing guide. And the pacing guide, we live and die by the pacing guide. But we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't teach that way, because if we're following the pacing guide, then we're leaving students behind who have that summer learning loss. And oftentimes that's 50 to 60 to 75% of our students. Yeah. So I take time my first few weeks going into the school year to get my students back on track. And then I start moving with the curriculum, because it's easy to pick up once you got your students back on track. So and then I encourage my teachers now as a coach. I go in and I encourage teachers and I show them how that worked for me in the classroom. Now, some people may have other ideas of how they grasp and understand where their students are academically. But for me, that works, and it has worked in the past. So I try to help teachers identify those students, because the student will say they get it. And mm-hmm. if you allow that student to say they got it, and when you move on with your curriculum and they're three semesters behind, then you're spending the entire school year trying to get that student back on track. And now you're struggling. Now you're frustrated. Now that child is frustrated. You've lost yeah. that student because you're following the pacing guide and not following that student's learning. And, you know, you're not going to be able to save everybody, but you can save most.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree, man. Agree. I'm going to tell you something somebody once told me, and shouts out to you, Dr. Galbraith. She said, because I used to stress about that pacing guide too. She said, that thing is a pacing guide, not a pacing God. And I was like, oh, that hit home right there. She said, you don't have to follow that thing. That is your classroom to do as you need, as long as you make sure that your students are well-equipped in whatever skills that you get them to. And I think that it is for me. I want to say, when I get in the classroom every school year, I hit my diagnostic, like you said, E, but about the first month to month and a half, if not the entire class, at least half the class is spent reviewing. And I do not move on to a new unit. I don't move on to a new element until I am certain that the class has scored at least 75% or higher. 75% is that beginner level. You can reach the beginner level and still, you know, be all right in school. But I want to make sure that not like you said, everybody you can't save everybody. But you want to make sure that you're not in such a rush to get through the school year that you're forgetting kids and leaving them before the year even gets started, man. Antoine, what about you, man?
Hey, man, I'm listening to you brothers give some real good insight on this. And what I want to add to it is the power of differentiation.
Yeah.
The power of differentiation. And I know when people hear that word, I used to always think, differentiation means I have to teach things three different ways, and that's so not the case. A good book that I've read recently by Dr. Cafele, he was talking about how different just basically means catering to your audience. You got to know your audience, which goes back to what, you know, E was saying about doing a diagnostics. How do you know your students if you don't know what their struggles are? How do you know your students if you don't know their demographics or their home life or, you know, what they may go through on a daily basis? So I say all that to bring up the point where different just means you are catering to that specific student's strengths. Yeah. Whatever it is that they can identify with the best way, you have to go that way with them. And I think that a lot of the loss that students occur over the summer, you have to really reel them back in with differentiation, finding out who you're serving as far as the students' population and things of that nature. And once you get that under control, then you can start differentiating your lessons and learning how to cater to different students and their needs and wants.
Agreed, man. Great academic discussion, fellas. Awesome. Hope you guys out there listening to the show right now, at least know the importance of summer learning. Take that kid that's riding with you right now, your niece, your nephew, take them to the library, get them a book, turn that TV off, do something. Because they say even at least 30 minutes, you don't need a whole day, 30 minutes of something promoted towards or something centered around learning or something similar to an academic exercise can greatly close that gap for so many that they're going to be facing when they go back to school, man. So thank you guys for all. Hey, man, wait, hold on. Side note, real quick question, man. Y'all mama ever make y'all do something over the summer? Academic? My mama used to sign me up for the summer reading program all the time. And I used to get that free Pizza Hut pizza.
Yeah, hey, we all had to go.
Yeah.
For that was sure. like a rites of passage, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
I get all them bookmarks and that Pizza Hut coupon.
Yeah.
You be in there cussing your mama out crying, reading. Yeah.
Bro, just mad.
Book
bro.
Reports. That's a book report.
Oh, son, you had to do book reports?
Yeah, we had what? To.
Oh my gosh, no. It wasn't that bad. Like that. My mama just be like, hey, I need you to read 5 books by the end of the week. All right, mama. And I used to be slick. I try to go get the kids' books out of the kids' section for like 2-year-olds. She realized what I was doing. Was like, okay, you think you slick. All
right,
fine.
Right. Comic book.
Right. Oh, no. She let me read comic books. As a matter of fact, a comic book is actually how I ended up learning how to spell deoxyribonucleic acid. I learned that's how.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. I was reading a superhero comic book. That's how I learned what DNA was.
I can't even say that word. So
I can't even spell it.
Yeah. Hold on. Deoxy is deoxyribonucleic acid. I think I got it. I think that somebody checked me on that one. That's deoxyribonucleic acid.
Hey man, drop a bomb for him, man.
Drop one bomb.
Hey man, let's get into this Teacher's Lounge Confessions, man. Antoine, take us to the Teacher's Lounge, bro. All
right, here we go. Teacher's Lounge Confession. Here we go. All right, so teacher writes in. He says, those gift cards I received for Target, I use on some school supplies, but I use them on stuff for me too. He says one year they added up to enough to buy that pasta attachment I've been eyeing for my KitchenAid. So here's the question to the team. What do you really do with those gift cards that you receive? What do you do?
Ooh, buddy. Hey, man. This is me first and foremost. End of the school year just passed. You know them parents, they give them sympathy gift cards too. Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry you had to deal with my son. I'm sorry you had to deal with my daughter. Here's a gift card. I got at least 10 of them sitting on my desk right now. I'm gonna tell you exactly what I do with them. Some of them I use, some of them I barter. I barter the heck, and I'm sorry for those of you who listen to me. I re-gift gift cards, bro.
Okay, gotcha.
I re-gift gift cards. Like, if I know Father's Day coming up, somebody about to get one of these gift cards on my desk.
It is what it is, man.
It is what it is. You know, hey, happy, congratulations, there you go. Other times, I traded to people. It used to be this machine where you could take the gift card and get the money off of it. I cannot find that machine nowhere to save my life, but I used to do that for a second.
Yeah,
it was like a gift card exchange. Okay, I'm exposing myself. Somebody answer the question.
Yeah, me and the wife, man. You know me and the wife, we going out. Now, it just depends on if it's a regular gift card where I can use anywhere, if it's like a department store gift card. If it's one of them anywhere gift cards, yeah, me and the wife, we going out. I'm pulling out 3-4 gift cards. Hey, swipe this one. Pull 25 off this one. Another 25. Here go your tip. I tip them with a gift card.
There you go.
Antoine, what you doing with the gift cards, man?
You know what? Lately, man, I've been getting food gift cards. So, you know, your boy be doing little slick stuff, man. You know, I tell my wife, listen, baby, I'm going to the gym. I might cut my gym day short about 30, 45 minutes, man. I'm out eating, y'all.
I have made a campaign to all of my parents. If you're gonna give me a gift card, buy me a gas card. That's what I want right now. Give me a gas card.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen to me. That's all I want. Somebody messed around and got me a gas card one time. It was $15 on there. My dumb butt went there and spent it on snacks and forgot I needed gas.
No. Yeah. Now you'd be like, okay.
Okay. And I'm pretty sure if Donnie was here, I know for a fact Donnie and Antoinette use them gift cards. They go to gym and Knicks.
Okay. For sure.
Way to tell on.
Yeah, Donnie, I'm snitching. I'm snitching, Donnie. I know you use the gift cards. Hey, man, but Antoine, ladies and gentlemen, please remember, make sure to follow us at Mr. COTP on Twitter. Tales of the 2%. on IG. Join the conversation in our Facebook group at Tales of 2% Podcast. If you want to be a part of the conversation, leave us a teacher's down confession. Email the show at totppodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 470-765-8688 so you guys can join in on the fun, man. By all means, guys, it has been a great show so far. But Najee, we got to talk about this data, man. Let's go ahead and get to this data, dig.
All right, so it's data time. So in an article posted to the NWEA.org titled Summer Learning Loss, What We Know and What We Are Learning, it reads, in the last year, researchers published two new studies using MAP growth data to document student learning patterns during the summer. The first study, Schools Out, The Role of Summers in Understanding Achievement Disparities, was recently published in the American Educational Research Journal and examined the magnitude and variability in summer learning loss across grades 1 through 8. This study found that the average student lost 17-34% of the prior year's learning gains during summer break, as well as that student who lose ground in one summer are more likely to also lose ground in subsequent summers. The second study, when does inequality grow? School, summer, and achievement gaps was recently published in the Educational Researcher and examined the degree to which racial ethnic achievement gaps widened during the summer break. Following groups of students across grades K through 8, the study found that black and white achievement gaps widened during the school year and shrink slightly during the summer, and that Asian students generally pull ahead of white students during the summer. However, the results also show that summer loss varies greatly, and that race, ethnicity, also school-level poverty do not explain much of the variance in summer learning patterns. So, we still have only a limited understanding of the mechanism that explain SLL. So, question to you fellas. Is summer learning loss something that can be fixed, or is it just something that should be expected and accepted?
That's a real good question. Now, I'm gonna go ahead and dive in first on this one. I think it should be expected, but it should not be accepted. I do think this is something that can be fixed, but I'll just be 100% honest with you. So much changes over the summer when it comes to education that until we really get some continuity and some consistency in a lot of different areas, will we really be able to focus on the summer learning loss? I do think more can be done to promote learning during the summer, because when we were kids, you know, they had the reading programs, they had this, they had that, that actually made it fun to learn and do things over the summer. You don't have that now. Most of the time, it's you either playing sports or nothing, or you're either doing some type of gaming or nothing. So I do think more can be done to fix the problem. I think there needs to be better resources. I think there needs to be classes to educate parents on what to do and not just force the kid to do something that they don't like. Because everybody knows being in a classroom, you can't force, when a kid says they don't like something, their mind is made up. They're not going to do it. So it has to be engaging. As engaging as summer is itself, as engaging as going to the mall, going to the movies, hanging out with your friends is, we have to make summer learning just that engaging. Because I remember I used to clown the kids who went to summer school. I used to clown them bad. Some of them went because, of course, they needed the extra help. But others were going because they was like, yo, I need to get ahead. I'm going to get these extra few credits, this, that, and the third. Looking back on it now, I wish I would have did that. But, yeah, it's something I think that can be fixed. It should not be expected, but, I mean, it should be expected, but it should not be accepted.
I'll jump in there. You know what? I think that it should be expected. Summer loss should be expected. And let's just be real and honest. A lot of the students that we're teaching, they may not be cut from a cloth where the parents understand the detriment that it does to their child when they're not engaging in some type of academic, you know, work during the summer. So I expect it. I expect it. But here's the thing. If you are really working with your child from August all the way up to May, and this is just this is really me thinking about it. Those 2 months, they will hurt. They will hurt. But I think a child that's really worked hard throughout the school year, the previous year, if you come back and you really review and you really take that month to go back over, you know, some of the things from the previous grade, I think, you know, for the most part, they can jump back on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that, Antoine. That's a good point. Because now that I look at it, I think the curriculum shouldn't start the first month of school. And we should give students an opportunity to catch up in the month of August.
I like that.
We have rules and procedure that we have to go over. Okay. We have you know, structure that the school is trying to get through. We trying to get students. So I believe as a school system, we have to do better. And you know, as you know, I mean, not necessarily teachers, because we're just doing our jobs. But as the school districts and the people who are at the top, like, look at the situation and say, okay, we understand that it is expected that there will be summer learning losses.
Yeah.
So how can we use our time during the school year to combat that? And the best way to combat it is in August. The month of August should be focused on that summer learning loss, reviewing, so we can hit the curriculum in September and hit the ground running.
Hey, you on to something right there, bro.
I think that's powerful. I think it is. And you made me think about it, Antoine, when you just made that comment.
You on to something right there. Like, if we could really legit take that first month of school to really hammer out the learning loss, see where students are, then come testing time, come all this math growth and all this other stuff.
You'll see a better growth. You'll see different growth.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Boy. Y'all on to something right there. I like that. I like that conversation, man. I like where that conversation just ended, man. That's something to think about, ladies and gents. That's something to think about as we end our data dig. Najee, I appreciate you on that one. Antoine, I appreciate you chiming in. I can't wait to hear what Donnie has to say about this, because you know he's going to be texting us as soon as he hears the show. Don, can't wait to hear you tap in on that one too, man. And remember, Tales of the 2% is brought to you by the good people over at Unfiltered. Make sure you visit unfilteredforever.com. Father's Day is right around the corner. And guys, I'm getting your Father's Day t-shirts to you this week. Father's Day, make sure you take a picture of them when you wear them so we can tag them up. Yeah. So Father's Day is coming up soon, man. Make sure you visit unfilteredforever.com. They are doing something where they're giving away free merch to fathers. All you have to do is take a snapshot of you and your child. Tag the people over at Unfiltered Forever on Instagram and or email them, and they're going to holler back at you with some free merch, man. Make sure you visit unfilteredforever.com. Sign up for the mailing list to be added for the exclusive line before it hits the website. Don't forget to use the promo code EGI or TALES. That's right, TALES or EGI at checkout for 15% off of your order. And remember, there is a science to being you. Now, we got two more things. Lord, I can't remember the thing. We got two more things before we get on up out this door, man. And now it is time for the SEL moment of the day, man. And by all means, I didn't write it down on the thing, but I got something that was on my heart and my mind for this SEL moment, man. So let's go ahead and dive into this real quick, man. And I hope you guys hear me with this. All right, man, so our SEL moment for today is titled, Faith Makes Things Possible, Not Easy. Faith makes things possible and not easy. I grew up in the church. I grew up with my family praising God. I grew up with my family worshiping God. I have a very strong sense of faith. But one thing I have learned is that my faith is not a get-out-of-jail-free card for situations. My faith is not a get-out-of-jail-free card for problems, storms, things like that. But what my faith is a guide on how to handle these situations when they show up. By all means, man, we are living in a crazy, crazy, crazy world. The number of mass shootings that has happened just in between the time our last episode came out is bananas. The amount of people with so much hate in their heart right now is crazy to me. And we have to understand, just as much as this is a physical fight, that gun laws need to be changed, that certain things need to be put in place to check. We also have to understand that this is a spiritual fight as well. And what you believe in, I think, Antoine, you posted this earlier today, bro, and it hit me right in my core, bro. What you believe in is often what you manifest. If you believe in hate, if you believe that the world is a dark and ugly place, then you are manifesting a dark and ugly place in your surroundings. But if your faith tells you that better lies out there, if your faith is telling you that better days lie ahead, I don't know how they're going to get here. I don't know when they're going to get here. But I have faith that I will see the goodness of the Lord in this, the land of the living. That's a scripture for y'all in there. Y'all go read Psalms. Then you have to hold on to that faith. I remember somebody saying something like this. I remember we quote this scripture all the time and say, no weapon formed against me shall not prosper. It never said that weapon was not going to be formed. It never said that nobody was going to try and come upside your head with that weapon. But it said that if you have faith, then that weapon is not going to prosper. It might hurt. It might sting. You might experience the type of love.
Just being able to kind of connect with family and seeing family come together during trials and just, you know, motivating one another. I'm just blessed to have, you know, the siblings that I have, the wife and, you know, extended family, friends. I appreciate you guys. it's just, you know, living in this world today, and you know, you got to be thankful for those people who,
yes, sir,
you know, who are around you, who motivate you even during your tough times and your good times. So just truly thankful for family, man. It's so, shouts out to you all. Appreciate you.
Yes sir. Love you to life. Love you to life. And I want to give my shout outs real quick. Shouts out to my grandmother Betty Hatcher, who was turning 80 this week. Shouts out to you, man. She had a banging party yesterday, so shouts out to your grandma. Shout out to all of my people everywhere who are tuning in to our show, man. Thank you guys for listening to us. There is no Tales of the 2% without you guys, man. Shout out to my son, man. Son, you had my boy just turned 1 on June 2nd, man. I got a whole toddler in these streets, man. And I want you to know, hopefully when you listen to this, man, every time daddy looks into your eyes, bro, I feel like I can run and take on the world. Thank you for lending me your strength to be a better man and push me to be a better man, man. Daddy loves you, Teddy. Yep. Yeah, little moment right there. Shout out to our boy Donnie Williams, man. Don, we miss you, man. Get back to his safety, man. Take care of the wife. Take care of the son while you guys out there on the road. Happy birthday to you, Mama Williams. Hopefully you are enjoying everything. Shout out to all my dads out there, man. Happy Father's Day, man. Happy Father's Day to all the dads who are out there grinding. To these dads on this show, man, who are raising some black kings. Appreciate you fellas for standing up and doing the doggone thing, man. Dad, by all means, is such an unappreciated job. I said it to what it is. It is. Dad is a tough job. Mom's a tough job, but so is dad's a whole nother thing. But shout out to all my dads out there, man. That's it, man. That's my shout out for the day, man. Hey, now, I know we kind of rushed into this, man, so I don't know if we got a ticket out the door to play, man. If we ain't got no ticket out the door, I'm about to just start this music. We go ahead and get the heck up on out here and enjoy the rest of our summer, man. What say you, fellas?
Hey, man, I say we let these people get their bathing suits on and go ahead and dip in that pool, man.
Yes, sir. Najee, what say you, sir?
All right, yeah, I'm with Antoine. You know what I mean? Just enjoy your summer. Let's get out of here.
Listen to me. Melanated people, put you on some sunscreen. You got this. Let that sun touch your skin. Put your feet before the man. Enjoy it, man. So on behalf of my man Antoine Lewis, on behalf of my boy Najee FAM, on behalf of my boy Donnie Williams, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Tales of the 2%. Y'all get on up out of here and enjoy the summer, man. Happy Father's Day, man. Y'all get out of here.
All right.